Okay, good evening, everyone. This week is a double parsha, Parshas Archamos and Kedeshim, Tavshanayim Ches, and we will be focusing on Parshas Kedeshim. So if you take a look, page 656, Perek Yotes, Pasek Aleph, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Leimar, Moshe said, Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Daber El Kaladas B'nei Yisrael, speak to the entire assembly of the children of Israel, Vamar to Aleim, and say to them, Kadeshim Tiyu, you shall be holy, Ki Kadesh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, for I, Hashem, your God, am holy. So, Pasuk Mei starts with Daber O Kaladas B'nei Yisrael, speak to the entire assembly of the B'nei Yisrael. So take a look at Rashi, the first Rashi, which is on the top of the right column. Daber O Kaladas B'nei Yisrael, excuse me, speak the entire assembly of Bnei Yisrael. Melame, this teaches us Shenemra Parsha Zubahakel, that this parsha was said with the entire Jewish people gathered together. But Bnei Sharoiv Gufei Torah Tluyinba, because many of the primary principles of the Torah are brought down in this parsha. So therefore, this parsha, this saying of Moshe, was said Bahakel with a gathering of the Jewish people together. So the commentaries on Rashi ask, they try to make a clarification. Rashi says, this parsha was said Bahakal. This parsha was said with the gathering of the Jewish people. So the Mefarshim, the commentaries ask that we find that Rashi, and then the Parshas Kisisa tells us that any time Moshe went ahead and spoke and said a mitzvah, everybody learned it. So let me read to you from a Rashi, then the Parshas Kisisa. Okay? Acher Shemit Lezakenim, after Moshe taught whatever it was, that part of the Torah, to the elders, Chayzer Malamed Aparsha Alocha Yisrael, he would then again repeat what he taught to the Jewish people. Torah Rabbanah, the sages taught, Ketza Seder HaMishnah, what was the order of teaching? When Moshe taught a mitzvah, what was the order? What went on? Moshe Yalamed Pi Agvura, it starts with Moshe learning from God. Nichnas Aaron, then Aaron would enter, Shara Lai Moshe Pirkei. Moshe would then repeat what he learned from Hashem to Aaron. Nistalik Aaron Yashva L'Ismal Moshe. After Aaron learned, he then stepped aside, so to speak, and he sat to the left of Moshe. Nichna Subanav, who came in next? Aaron's children. Shara Lai Moshe Pirkei, Nistalik Kohen. Moshe taught them the lesson, and then they moved aside. Yoshua Elazar Yamin Moshe, Elazar would sit to the right of Moshe, Yisamar L'Ismal Aaron, Yisamar to the left of Aaron. Then the elders, the group known as the elders, would then enter. Shana lahem Moshe Pirkam. Moshe taught them what they were going to learn. The Zakenim then stepped aside. They took their respective places to the sides of Moshe. Nechnesu kol ha'am. Then the entire nation entered. Shana lahem Moshe Pirkam. And then Moshe taught them their lesson. Nimtzibar kol ha'am echad. It comes out that the whole nation learned at once. The elders learned it twice. Aaron's sons got it three times. Aaron got it four times because they heard it over. Now, we don't have to go through exactly, you know, why this one four, this one two, this one, three, this one two. But the point that the Mefarshim is saying is that every time Moshe taught something, everybody learned it from Moshe. So what does it mean here special that this parsha was said Bahaka with everybody there? Everybody always learned the Torah from Moshe. All the things that Moshe was teaching, everybody learned from Moshe. So what was different here? So there's a couple of answers that are given. The Mizrahi answers that what it means is like this. His first explanation is that it's pretty clear from the Rashi that I read to you that there were groups that came at different times. First he had Aaron, then his sons, then the elders, then the Jewish people. And the way I understand what the Mizrahi is saying is that perhaps even amongst the Jewish people, what? Everybody, all the Jewish people then climbed after the elders. There were 70 elders. Then you had 600,000 people coming in to learn by Moshe. It was groups. Just like it started off in different groups, there were different groups that came in to learn by Moshe. That's how I understand it. And this time, though, this time the Jewish people were not divided up in groups. This time they all came. This time that they all got together in a big open area. Everybody was present, and everybody at the same time learned from Moshe. Why? Why was it so? Why this time or the other time it was in groups, and this time it was everybody together? So on that, Rashi says, being that there are so many primary principles of the Torah that are in this parsha, it was important that everybody heard it together at the same time. Why? Because when you have different groups coming in at different times, well, one group hears it one way, another group hears it another way, and, you know, one group can go ahead and say, well, we learned this, and the group are going to say, no, that's not what Moshe said, we understood it this way. That kind of confusion, and that kind of questioning Moshe didn't want when it came to this parsha that was dealing with the primary principles of the Torah. He wanted everybody to be present, everybody here at the same time, everybody could ask their questions at the same time, and everybody should be clear together on these primary principles that are mentioned in this week's parsha. That's one answer that's given. Another answer that's given is that as we find by the mitzvah of Hakel, not only were the men there, the women were there also. Right? We know there's a special mitzvah Hakel at the eighth year, every 8 years, at the end of the Shemitah, all the Jewish people have to come to Yerushalayim, the Melech, the king, reads the Torah to everybody, everybody has to be present. So another answer the Mizrahi gives to explain Rashi is that all the other time when we say everybody came to learn, that was only the men. This parsha, because of the primary principles in the parsha, everybody was there, including the ladies. That's another answer. And the Gra'ari explains that what happened normally is, right, what happened normally is that it's true. Everybody would go ahead and come to learn. But let's say somebody was busy with something. I don't know what they were busy with, but, you know, let's say they were busy with something. So they couldn't make it. And they'd have to hear it from somebody else. So, yes, learning was open to everybody, Moshe to everybody, but basically everybody wasn't obligated to have to come. They were supposed to come. It could come out that somebody for some reason was busy with something and he couldn't come, so he didn't come. This was taught by Hakel. When Parshas Kedoshim was taught, everybody had to be there. Everybody had to make sure that they had the time to be able to come to hear this parsha, because this parsha has the majority, so many of the primary principles of the Torah. So we have a couple of answers here to differentiate between the Hakel, the gathering here, the how Parsha Kedoshim was taught with everybody there, and all the other times that Moshe taught the Torah to all the Jewish people. Okay. Let's take a look now at the next Rashi. Now the next Rashi is on the words Kedoshim to you, you shall be holy. What does it mean when Hashem tells the Jewish people, you shall be holy? What does it mean? So on that Rashi says, Havu Perushim min Arayas min Avera. You shall separate yourselves from Arayas. Arayas are the illicit marriages mentioned in last week's parsha. Last week's parsha basically makes a list of all the incestuous marriages that are forbidden to have. That's what they're called, incestuous marriages. And those are the Arayas. And Kedeshim to you, says Rashi, is Havu Perushim. Separate yourself from the Arayas. All those forbidden marriages that I said before, separate yourselves. Make sure that you don't cut. You have to separate. Don't perform them. Kedoshim says, separate yourself from these kinds of illicit marriages, from sin. Wherever you find the Torah is trying to hold us back, fence us off from erva, from an illicit type of sexual relationship, atamaitse kedusha. There you find the mentioning of Kedusha. Isha Zayna v'chalala, when the Torah talks about a Kohen cannot marry a woman who is a Zona or a Chalala, what does it say after that? Ani Hashem Mekadishchem, I am Hashem who makes you holy. You stay away from an illicit relationship, that's holiness. Lo yechalal zarei, the Kohen who marries a woman that he's not supposed to be married, he shouldn't desecrate his children. Ani Hashem Mekadishchem, Hashem who sanctifies him. Rashi cites a number of examples that wherever we find the Torah is warning us against a certain type of relationship, when the Torah is telling us this is considered an illicit relationship, you have to stay away from it, always you find there that Hashem says, I am the one who sanctifies you. So anytime we find the Torah separating us from certain types of relationships, that's where you find, the Torah always mentions Kedusha. Therefore, if the Torah here says, Kedoshim to you, you shall be holy, therefore, what is that referring to? What does it mean, you shall be holy? Says Rashi. Well, any other time in the Torah when we find Hashem mentioning Kedusha, what is he saying it in reference to? To Arayas, from staying away from illicit relationships. Therefore, here too, when the Torah says, Kodeshim ti, you shall be holy, what does it mean? It means stay away from the illicit relationships that I mentioned at the end of last week's parsha. So here again, I think it's very worthwhile for me to share with you what the Gur Aryeh, the Maral, in his commentary on Rashi, tells us here. So he says, okay, so he first starts off, the Rashi says, Kadoshim Tiyu means be prushim, separate yourselves from Arayas, from illicit relationships, and from sin. We'll have to get back to what does sin mean exactly. But the Gur Aryeh explains, the word kadoshim, be holy, is always used in the context of separating. And it means separating oneself from physical desire. That's what the word kadosh means. Kadosh means separate. And it's always meant in the context of separate yourself from a physical desire. And therefore, what does it mean here? It means here to separate yourselves from erva, from illicit relationships. V'nira ha'tam, sha'achar sh'shem kadosh ha'emar al prish v'nyonei ha'guf v'tavaysav. Being that we know that whenever we use the word kadosh, it means to separate oneself from matter, physical matters, and its desires. Yoyser roy al garda erva. That what is, if you're going to talk about separating from a physical pleasure, from a bodily pleasure, what is the most appropriate one to be referring to if we're trying to say separate yourself from physical pleasure, from physical desire? What is that most appropriate to? That's most appropriate to erva, to sexual matters. Shehem taivas b'yoyser. Those are the most strongest. That's the most strongest passion that we have. Ulekach mishu who noita achar zinus, someone who does stray after zinus, after morality. Yoimer al zeh shu maisa behema. Such actions is referred to. Is considered an act. Is compared to an act of an animal. A person who does nus, who acts immorally, that's considered an act of an animal. That we find that the woman who's a sota, woman is accused of being unfaithful to her husband, and she brings a sacrifice. What kind of meal? And she brings a meal offering. She brings that out of barley. Why barley? Most meal offerings are not made out of barley, they're made out of wheat. The answer is because barley is considered an animal food, and she did, or she's being accused of acting like an animal. Lefisha zanus inyan gufni, because zanus, immorality, is a very physical act. And that's like an animal. An animal is completely mundane, completely physical, completely instinctive. And when a person does an act of lust, a person does an act of immorality, that's like an act of an animal. That is the most physical kind of desire and act that we have. Ulakachmi shapirish min ha'erva, who pirish, lakachmi shapirish min ha'erva, who pirish mitaibas aguf achamri. Therefore, a person who separates himself from erva, from illicit relationships, from immoral acts, is therefore separating himself from the strongest form of physical desire, ulafikach nikra kadosh, and therefore we call him a kadosh, a person who's holy. Piratzon olema, meaning to say, perish minyone olam hazeh shehu guf. The person who is a kadosh, if we're going to call someone a kadosh means someone who has separated himself from the passions of this world. The greatest and most intense passion is the passion of immorality. And therefore, if we're going to call someone a kaddish, or if we're going to say to someone, be kaddish, what are we referring to? We're going to be referring to that, because since kaddish means separate yourself from these worldly pleasures or these worldly desires, if we're saying that, if that's what kaddish means, what should it be referring to? What must it be referring to? The most intense and highest form of physical passion, of physical desire, which is zinus, which is immorality. So therefore, says Rash, therefore, says the Gur Aryeh, when the Torah says be kaddish, Rashi says it means separate from arayas, separate from illicit relationships. How does Rashi know it's referring to that? The answer is because since kedusha means separate from this world, it must mean separate from that which represents or that which is the most worldly, that which is most desirable of this world. And what is that? That is talking about forbidden sexual relationships. Okay. So that's how Rashi knows that when it says be kaddish, separate from erva. Kaddish means separate from worldly desires, and the strongest, most intense worldly desire, the most worldly of desires, is the desire of zinus, of immorality. Okay, now, the next thing the Gur-Aryeh deals with, though, is, at the same time, that Rashi says that this week's parsha that says Kaddishim is talking about, be Kaddish, separate yourself from Arayis, listen, relationships. Avagav shaloi niskar b'parsha zayis Arayis. Now, the Arayis, the illicit relationships that Rashi is saying separate yourself from, aren't in this week's parsha. They're not going to be mentioned in this week's parsha. They're mentioned in the last week's parsha. Actually, the end of this week's parsha talks about the punishments for it. But the prohibition for it is at the end of last week's parsha. And Rashi is saying, this week's parsha's opening of Kaddishim to you, be Kaddish, be holy. What is that going on? The Arayis, illicit relationships of last week's parsha. Okay? But it's not in this week's parsha. Okay, it may not be in this week's parsha, but it's going back at the end of last week's parsha. Now, the Maral asks, Gur-Aryeh asks, Avagav de Rashi pirish dabra koladas malamid sheparshas unemra bahakel. Even though Rashi said, the first Rashi we just read said this week's parsha was said bahakel, was said in front of everyone. It would seem that if Rashi starts up saying that when the parsha starts and says, speak to the entire assembly of the Jewish people, Rashi says, what does that mean? It means this parsha was said in front of everyone. Well, that sounds like this week's parsha said of everyone, not last week's parsha. But Rashi seems to be saying that the word Kaddishim is going back on last week's parsha. On that, the Maral says, Leishul Farish, the explanation is going to be like this. I mean, he wants to make a connection. He wants to make some kind of a connection to make it easier to say that even last week's Parsha was also being referred to when Moshe spoke to everyone together. Yeishul Farish, the Vade Leprishas Arayas Sarach Gamkein, Shoyavatel HaKadusha, and Livrish Gamkein, and Sharaveris. At the end of the day, when the Torah says, Rashi said, Kaddishim to you, be Kaddish. Now Rashi says, if you want to be Kaddish, it means if you want to create a state that you are separated from the desires of this world, you've got to be parished from illicit relationships. If you're not parished from illicit relationships, if you're not staying away from forbidden relationships, then you can't be Kaddish. There's no way. You want to be Kaddish, you want to be able to attain this level of Kaddush, of sanctity, of being holy like God. In order to do that, which means to separate yourself from the mundane, separate yourself from the desires of this world, you've got to be separated from the worst, from the strongest of desires, which is immorality. So for sure, if you want to attain Kedusha, you're going to have to do that. You have to do that. But if, let's say, I go ahead and I stay away from illicit relationships, but I do many other avers, I do other things that are wrong, then the Kedusha that you're trying to attain, the elevation of separating, of being holy, you're trying to attain, is going to be counteracted. You may have now attained a level of elevation from the mundane of this world by separating yourself from the desires of immorality, but if you're going to do other sins, then it's going to, the kedusha, the sanctity, the elevation of being separated from the desires of this world you're trying to accomplish by staying away from those relationships is going to be counteracted when you start doing other things that are wrong. When you're going and doing other things that are forbidden desires of this world. Therefore, ulakach, pirish akos, kodeshim tiyu, dainisha tiyu, perushim in a erva, gamti perushim in a vera, saksim in parasha zeis, vaskiu kodeshim legamri. Meaning, if you want to be Kaddish, there's two parts to it. You got to be Kaddish, you've got to be separated from illicit relationships, and you also have to be Kaddish, you have to be Parish, you have to be separated from other forms of sin. You got to have both. One without the other is not going to work. So therefore, when Rashi starts up and he says, this week's Parsha, where Moshe Rabbeinu says Kaddishim, was said in front of everyone, and it's going on this week's Parsha, well, it is going on this week's Parsha, because this week's Parsha is telling us to stay away from a number of things which we need in order to be Kaddish, to be holy also. But it's understood that in order to be Kaddish, to be holy, to be able to be someone who's removed from the desires of this world, he's got to be separate from Arayis too. He's got to be separate from illicit relationships. They have to come together. So therefore, even though it's this parsha that was said in front of everyone and doesn't seem like anything of last week's parsha was, It has to be that the end of last week's parsha, the parsha of Arayas, of illicit relationships, was also said in front of everyone, because if everyone is being told to be Kedoshim, there has to be two parts to that. There has to be the Kedoshim, separate yourself from the desires of this world, illicit relationships, which are the most intense and the strongest. And if you want to be Kaddish, separated from the desires of this world, you got to be separate from that. At the same time, that alone is not going to work. You've got to be separated from many other forms of forbidden things, because if you're going to not separate yourself from those kinds of forbidden desires, you're not going to attain Kedusha. You're not going to be elevated. You're not going to be able to be separated from the desires of this world. Therefore, you need both. However, said the Maharal concludes, Umikomakim, nonetheless, Ikar HaKadusha in a Nemra Rak Aprisha Sa'erva. The prime where the Torah says, be Kaddish, be holy. What is it primarily referring to? It's primarily referring to Erva. It's rather referring to staying away from illicit relationships, staying away from immorality. And that's what Rashi says. Kadeshim Tiyu, separate yourself from Erva. That's number one. Umin Havera, and from sin. Number one is Erva. If you're not separate from Erva, you're done. You can't be Kaddish. To be Kaddish, you've got to be separate from Erva. Elishim ain't a parish min shara veres, but if you're not going to be parish from other sins, humavato kedushas harayis, you're going to nullify the sanctity of the harayis. Ulekachzar shia imze pri shara veres, farkasam nuze. Okay. Basically, how do you attain your kedusha? How do you attain the sanctity, says the Maharal? Stay away from znus. Stay away from immorality. But if you want to be able to hold on to that Kedusha, you got to stay away from other forms of forbidden things, because then you cannot stay Kaddish, elevated from the desires of this world, if you're still going to be following everything else, allowing yourself everything else that's forbidden. So an interesting concept from the Maharal. The Kedusha, the way he's learning in Rash, and Rashi says, stay away from Erva. Kaddish means stay away from Erva. The main thing that's going to bring you Kedusha, stay away from Erva. If you want to hold on to the kedusha of the erva, you got to make sure you don't do other things. Interesting idea.
Why he kind of distinguishing illicit relationships?
Because he sees that in Rashi's words, and Rashi says, and Rashi himself, first of all, because Rashi says, Rashi says, separate from erva and from sin, because wherever you find the Torah telling us to stay away from forbidden marriage, you find kedusha. So Rashi, the Maharal understands, Rashi is saying Kedusha focuses very, seems to be focusing very much on Erva. Now, I think you could ask from other places talks about Kedusha also that aren't by Erva, like in last week's Parsha, I do believe it talked about, did it talk about Kedusha by kosher food? I'd have to look again.
Keeping Shabbos.
But it didn't say Kedusha there. It doesn't say the word Kedusha. It didn't say anything about Kedusha there.
Interesting.
Doesn't say. The point is, Rashi is focusing on Kedusha. Yes, we call it Shabbos Kodesh. We call it that. We'll get to that. But the point is that Rashi is saying that wherever the Torah is telling us to be Kodesh, it means separate from Erva. And Rashi has his psukim that he bases it on. Rashi also mentions, says the Maharal, Rashi also mentions Aveira, other sins, because, again, you want to attain Kedusha, you got to separate yourself from that most drawing and pulling desire, which is immorality. That you have to stay away from those forbidden types. There are permissible ones, they're forbidden ones. You're going to go after the forbidden ones, you're just going to be so tied to desire this world, you can't be Kaddish. You won't be able to attain that level of being elevated and above this world and being godly. Ki Kaddish ani, Hashem says, I am holy. You got to have that. That's what primarily brings it. At the same time, if you're going to be doing other things that are forbidden, you're going to lose that. You're going to lose that elevation. And therefore, you got to make sure to stay away from those things also. But staying away from those things alone without erva, not going to work. Staying away from erva, staying away from the strongest form of desire, forbidden desire, that is where you get your kedusha. How do you hold on to that kedusha? How do you stay with that kedusha that you attain from that? By making sure that you don't do other things that are forbidden. Okay.
You could do an offering and repenting from either of them?
It depends on how you did it. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a carbon chattas, you have different things.
But nothing is too big enough not to have an offering. You can have an offering.
Well, it depends how you do it.
How you do it.
depends how you do it. And then there are certain sins that don't have an offering to them.
But once you have an offering for a certain sin, and you do it again, you can still do the same offering?
Got to do another one.
Excuse me?
Got to do another one.
But, I mean, it doesn't get to the point when you say, well, I'll do an offering, I'll do it over again.
It's a problem, but if he's going to keep doing that, he's not going to be getting his true atonement. But again, you know, the system is the system, so to speak, and he'd have to keep doing it. Okay. Now, so, you know, Alex just touched on this. It would seem here, right, that according to Rashi, the way the Maharal is learning Rashi, that how do you gain Kedusha? You stay away from Erva and from other Averas, other sins. Okay? So it would seem like staying away from what's forbidden, that's what makes you Kadosh, that's what makes you holy. Okay? How about wearing tzitzis? Wearing tefillin? Keeping Shabbos? Right? Is there Kedusha there? Is there holiness there? Anybody want to answer my question based on something we do all the time?
Yes.
What?
Kedusha is there.
Excuse me?
I think Kedusha is there.
Where? Can you bring me a proof? Yeah, there's a very basic proof, I would say. When you make a bracha, before you sit in a sukkah, you say, Asher, Kedushanu b'mitzvah yisav, Vitzivanu leishe basuka. We thank Hashem, we bless Hashem for sanctifying us with his mitzvahs and commanded us to sit in a sukkah. That sure sounds like the mitzvahs, I say, the positive commandment of sukkah brings kedusha, makes you holy. So there would seem that there's not just kedusha in arayis or in avera. It would seem in everything there's kedusha. So again, Rashi says, Znus, okay, stay away from morality and stay away from Avera, from sin. What does sin exactly include? Does that include everything? When I don't sit in a sukkah, I'm following my passions, I'm being connected to the mundane, and therefore I'm counteracting the kedusha that I attain from separating from immorality, like the Maharal says. What does Avera mean exactly? So I don't necessarily have a proof to this, but I would like to suggest, because first of all, I think the word avera, transgression, applies more to a prohibition, to transgressing, meaning to doing what you're not supposed to do, more than not doing what you're supposed to do. I could be wrong about that, because in our regular way of talking, we call everything an avera. But perhaps what it means is like this, that avera is referring to other prohibitions. And what Rashi means is, what the Maharal means is that when the Torah tells you, be Kaddish, the Torah wants you to act Kaddish, wants you to behave in a certain way that we say is acting in a holy manner. So if the Torah says, be holy, act in a holy manner, as the Maharal says, holiness, acting holy means separate yourself from worldly desires. And when the Torah talks about Kedusha, so to speak, in being holy, in acting holy, that means separate from the desires of the world. It doesn't mean do a positive commandment. But when you do a positive commandment, the result of the positive commandment is that you become holy. Everything elevates you. Everything sanctifies you. Everything raises you up from the mundane world. Everything raises you up and makes you elevated and higher than this world and makes you more godly. Every mitzvah does that. But there are certain things where you, so to speak, are practicing holiness because you're doing something that separates you from this world, from the worldly pleasures. And then there are things, like many mitzvahs, that when you're doing the mitzvah, you're not necessarily acting in a way of separating yourself from this world. But when you do the mitzvah, it sanctifies you. It elevates you. It makes you less mundane. It makes you less connected to this mundane world. So there is, so to speak, the active Kedusha, being Kaddish, acting Kaddish. And then there is becoming Kaddish. Becoming Kaddish, that comes from everything. That comes from when you act Kaddish, when you separate from what you separate yourself from the mundane, when you separate yourself from what's forbidden, when you separate yourself from what you're supposed to stay away from, that is acting Kaddish, and of course that makes you Kaddish. And then there, when you do the mitzvahs, even though you do the mitzvahs, that's not necessarily an act of breaking away from the desires of this world, but at the same time, every mitzvah brings Kedusha upon you. It elevates you. It separates you from the world. It elevates you from the world. So there's the active Kedusha, and there's, so to speak, the becoming, there's the becoming Kaddish.
There's a mental thing also, like a balancing. Like they say, you know, people who do good things feel better chemically. And your chemistry, you know, by doing good things, it's going to make you want to do more things and so forth.
Okay. Actually, there you can call that physical. You can give that explanation. B'chaim v'lashon, it says every mitzvah that you do surrounds you with a certain brings down a certain, I guess, call it a sanctity that says that makes you want to do more mitzvahs.
Right, protection.
It's the same idea. That definitely can be an aspect of this. Okay. Now, this actually relates a little bit more to what Rashi said before, but I think it's an interesting thing to share with you.
Like when Rashi wrote his commentaries, he was changing many of the commentaries from before.
No, actually, Rashi is the earliest of the. It's one of the earliest
the
of the commentaries.
Never had commentaries. Like,
you don't find them having a written commentary on the Chumash. Their commentary comes from the Medrash.
And people after
Rashi was taking the words of the sages in order to explain the Chumash. You should be able to look at the words of the Chumash and understand them based on the words of the sages. But you don't have a commentary like Rashi. Beforehand, maybe there is some, but not like Rashi, where that actually made a comment to help you look at the psukim and look at the words and have an understanding of them. Okay. Now, I think the next thing I'm going to share with you is a thought from Harav Yerucham Lubavitz. And he's also going on this Rashi. And the way that the idea that he brings out is the following. So he's also again going on Rashi, where Rashi says Kadosh means separate from erva, separate from immorality.
So that's the worst thing you could do. So
now, he brings out the following point. He says, if you wouldn't see this Rashi, and you would have a person who, let's say, is immoral. He's immoral, and he's really sunk into immorality. Okay? So now, and he breaks out of it. He breaks out of it. Okay? You would look at that person and say, okay, look, before he was a lowlife, and now he's not a lowlife. That's what you'd say. Right? Before he was a lowlife, now he's not a lowlife. Rabbi Yochum says, you know, whenever we talk someone a Kaddish, someone a holy, that means that he's doing something really sublime. That's what Kaddish typically means. Kaddish holy means you're being separate. You're separating from the world to something really sublime. When a person doesn't steal, do you say to him, "Oh, he's holy that he didn't steal"? You don't say that. You say, you know, if you steal, you're really doing what you're not supposed to do, and not stealing is what you're supposed to do. You're holy. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And typically, if you look at a person who's immoral, or you look at immorality, you say, immorality, that's low. That's lowliness. And not being moral is being normal. The word Kaddish, as a real Chum, usually is meant, as we've been saying, it means to separate, but usually means to separate on a high level. You know, we've been discussing this whole discussion with Rashi, and we're talking about Kaddish means to separate, and we're basically like taking it for granted. Kaddish means separate. Okay, and therefore it means separate from immorality, and that's Kaddish, because Kaddish means separate from the mundane, and immorality is the greatest form of being mundane. But Rabbi Yochum says that typically when you talk about Kaddish holy, you're talking about something very sublime, and is that what you are when you separate from illicit relationships? You're very sublime, or are you just being a mensch? You're not being a lowlife. Would you want to say something?
I just have conversations with my grandchildren, and so I'm motivating them to participate, in fact, in life, to learn a profession, to earn their own living.
Yeah.
And hopefully this is not, in this terminology, separating from mundane. Because you realize that...
Why would that be separating from mundane? Well, again, according to Rashi, the separating from mundane, Rashi seems to be focused on the forbidden.
Right, forbidden.
Rashi forbidden. The Ramban talks about even separating from what's permissible. But we're talking about that right now. We're focusing on Rashi. Rashi seems to be focusing on separating from the forbidden. The forbidden is that negative connection to this world, and that's what you got to stay away from.
Right, and we're supposed to teach our children to get a profession, to earn a meaning, to participate in life.
Yeah, right. We're not talking about not participating in life. No one's talking about not participating in life. Right. The question is, how you participate in life? Rashi is saying participate in this world in the permissible manner, because the forbidden manner is a very strong pull. The Ramban says, not only should you not participate in what's forbidden, but don't overdo what's permitted. That, he says, what's included in Kedushim to you. Okay. Now, so again, the way Rabbi Yochum is bothered is the fact that, you know, it just seems very interesting. Again, by Geneva, he says, by stealing, you don't find Kedusha. It doesn't say, be holy and don't steal. It doesn't say that. But here, by Arai, it says, be holy. Now, good, be holy means to separate, but it usually means separating on a very high level. Separating in a manner that's almost irregular. Separating on a manner that wouldn't be expected. That's not expected. And is that how we should? And is that how we would look at a person who separates from immorality? Immorality is low. It's lowliness. And if you're moral, then you're not low. But you're holy. Says Rabbi Yochum, apparently, one has to see the fact that they have separated from erva. When a person does separate from immorality, right, that it's not just, well, you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're actually doing something very sublime. You're actually acting you're actually acting irregular. You're acting beyond the normal. Because the pull of arayas, the pull of immorality, is so strong that when you do practice that self-control, you are doing something sublime. You are doing something very special. Something very special. Because the power, the pull of immorality is so strong that, no, you're not just, you know, now again, not to take away from not stealing, right? People have to deal with not stealing also. You know, he brings down, there's a famous Gemara that the nations of the world don't believe that a Jew keeps Shabbos. This is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The non-Jews say, Jews can't keep Shabbos. What do you mean? You see a wallet in a public domain on Shabbos, you're not going to take it? Like, you got to be kidding. There's free money there, and you're not going to take it? So money definitely is something that people covet very strongly. The nation of the world can't even imagine that you'd pass it by. At least the way the Gemara expresses it. So clearly, not to steal, you got to be a person who's clean, a person who's honest, a person who is a special type of person. You know, we know how much people stumble when it comes to stealing. We know that. But at the same time, that's because, yeah, there's a pull, and it's a pull that of money. Money drags us down. But when it doesn't drag us down, we're taka being a mensch, we're being menschlich, we're being appropriate. Kaddish? Are we doing something beyond our normal capability? No. But when it comes to holding yourself back from znus, from illicit relationships, that is called you're doing something beyond the norm. And you're a kaddish for it. You're a kaddish for it. Now, I'd like to share with you a personal thought about this. And I hope I come across clear with it. All right, so this idea is that we know there's certain things like stealing, it's a challenge, and clearly it takes a lot to go ahead and not to steal and to be honest, to be clean with your money. It takes a lot to do it. But as Rabbi Yochum says, you don't find that you're called a kaddish for that. You're not acting sublime. You're not acting beyond the norm. But for arayis, but hold yourself back from illicit relationships, that you are. That's called kaddish. That's beyond the norm. That's something very high and sublime. Okay. So, I would hope that most of us don't have a challenge from many of the relationships that are mentioned at the end of Achrei Mais, mothers, sisters, okay, and I would say a lot of us don't have an actual challenge of not committing adultery. Not to say that it doesn't happen, even amongst good from people. Let's say it doesn't happen. But let's hear a kind of person who hasn't had that challenge, Baruch Hashem. Hasn't had the situation where they literally had to control themselves not to commit adultery. So does that mean that, well, if I don't really have that challenge, so I haven't been Kaddish. Because I haven't really had that challenge, so I haven't, you know, attained that Kedusha. You know? Now, no one's going to say that they don't have a challenge for that. There are things that we have to hold ourselves back from looking at. There are things we have to hold ourselves back from thinking about. But those things aren't the arayas themselves. Those things aren't the forbidden acts themselves. Right? There are the things that we have to make sure that we do, that we don't come to do those things or other things. But again, you know, we're being told that a person who holds themselves back from arayas, he's a kaddish. Yeah. If you actually meet a challenge of adultery and you hold yourself back, you clearly have done something unbelievable. But let's say you haven't done that. You haven't had that challenge. You know, you've been brought up in a way that you know those things are off limits. So you don't have that kind of a challenge. So does that mean that, you know, this idea, this kind of kedusha, I'm never going to attain? Is it something that as long as I just don't... Now again, you could say maybe before, you know, without Rabbi Yochum, well, the mere fact that you don't aren't involved in it means you're being holy, right? You're not involved in those kinds of things. That means you don't have... You're staying away from that strong connection to this world, so you're automatically holy to some degree. But this idea that Rabbi Yochum is saying about really being sublime, really acting on a high level. What if you don't have that challenge? What happens then? Does that mean you haven't done this? You haven't attained this? You haven't accomplished this?
It's much easier for you.
It's much easier for you, right? So then how sublime is it? How sublime is it? So I was thinking, perhaps this could be an answer, that, you know, clearly, there are situations where people can find themselves in that situation. And a lot of times a big part of why, if a person will say they don't have these kinds of challenges right up front with these kinds of things, if they don't have the kind of challenges, why don't they have the challenges? A lot of it has to do with the fact that our sages made a system. They created a system to make sure that we don't come to these things. They created an Isser Yichud. You can't be in seclusion. As somebody one time said, if Bill Clinton would have kept Hilchas Yichud, he wouldn't have had all his problems. But the point is that people who don't keep Yichud, right, clearly mess up. That's very easy. All the things that have been going on in the news and everything like that, all of it has to do with the fact that people are in seclusion with each other. Right, wrong, consent, non-consent, it's all about being in seclusion. If you keep that system and you don't allow yourself to be secluded, you've distanced yourself from that, from those things, right? The Chazal added, the Torah has certain marriages that we can't have, and the rabbis added more. Again, all about creating precautionary measures that we don't come to do the actual sin. When it comes to the laws of Nida, when a woman has her period, Chazal said there are harchakas, there are things that you have to do to distance yourself. You got to keep the relationship a little bit, you got to keep it distant. Not just, oh, we can't do this, we can't do this intimate thing, we can't do that intimate thing. You can't even pass something to her. It's all about creating an atmosphere and a system that says that we're going to make sure things don't break down. Well, when you have that system, and you've been brought up with that system, and you live that system, things are going to be easier for you. And people who aren't used to that system, it's hard for them if they want to start keeping it. But if you have that system says, okay, it's going to be easier for you. At the same time, there are still challenges to the system. Sure, I'm not supposed to go into seclusion, right? But if I go ahead and I look where I'm not supposed to look, then I'm breaking my, then I'm weakening myself. I'm weakening my system. There are always going to be challenges, always going to be challenges of immorality. And the challenges are always going to be challenges at whatever stage you're at. And if you're not, and if Baruch Hashem, you don't have a direct challenge to an actual act of adultery, because you abide by the system, you still have a challenge about how well will you abide to the system. How will you abide by that system? The system also says, don't look, you're not supposed to look. The system says, don't fantasize. Right? How are you going to do with that? Wait a second. How are you going to do with that? And all that is part of the system to make sure that you don't come to the challenges. So in essence, everything is still always related. You may not be facing the actual challenge because the actual challenge of, the, of an actual sin, because you live the system, the life that doesn't, that Baruch Hashem doesn't make that happen so easily. But at the same time, there's always a challenge coming from that, because there's always a challenge to you personally regarding the system, regarding the precautionary measures, regarding the kind of life that keeps you separate. There's still going to be the challenges that come from that. And those challenges are very strong challenges. And when you stay away from those challenges and you meet those challenges, you're doing something sublime. You're doing something not normal. To be able to control those kinds of things. Sure, it's not the actual sin itself, but it's all related to that sin. And it's all part of how we're supposed to be staying away from those kinds of sins. And there's always going to be a challenge to that system, because there are always challenges. And even if you keep the system, well, maybe, you know, the system is, again, meant to keep us separate from these kinds of things. Okay, well, if I do other things, if I look where I'm not supposed to look, and I go where I'm not supposed to go, okay, maybe I'm not going to go in and do an actual act of adultery, but I'm clearly not being holy. I'm clearly not doing, I'm not being what God wants from me. Because, okay, I won't do that terrible thing, but I'll do something else. So at the end of the day, whatever the challenge comes, wherever the challenge is going to be, wherever the challenge of error, wherever the challenge of immorality comes, and you live up to that challenge, it's always sublime. It's always kaddish. It's always holy. It's always doing something. It's not just doing what you're supposed to do. It's not just like staying away from stealing. It's actually doing something beyond the norm. And again, it all relates to the same idea. So, you know, I don't know if my question was such a strong question to begin with, but I'm just trying to bring out the point that even if you don't have the actual test, right, at the same time, we still have challenges. And the challenges have to do with how well will we keep the precautionary measures, how well will we keep the system that keeps away from it, will we allow the system to break down or not break down, or even if we keep the system, because we can never go so far as to break the system, but will we try doing other things to be able to be more mundane, to be able to fulfill that kind of forbidden desire of immorality? Whatever the challenge for that comes, whatever we're supposed to do to stay away from those kinds of things, being able to do that is sublime. It's kaddish. You keep it. It's not just like staying away from stealing. You're doing something sublime, something beyond the norm. You're being a kaddish. You're being holy. Good night. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It sounds simple, but you can have a family of 5, 10 children, and, you know, each child or 5 are religious, 4
yeah,
college priests, and how also.